This week, we are reliving our glory days of when we had really cool athletes on the show. It's what passes for sports nostalgia among public radio people.
Well, I bow to no man when it comes to being the king of cool, but I might make an exception for Kelly Slater, who some believe is the greatest surfer who ever lived. He joined us in 2009 with Mo Rocca, Roy Blunt Jr., Amy Dickinson, and guest scorekeeper Corey Flintoff.
Now, people, and I speak from experience, they have a hard time in their first time surfing. It's hard to get going. Was it hard for you, or did you just leap right onto it? Was it natural for you?
I was just young. You know, I basically, as soon as I could walk, I was at the beach, and my dad surfed, so I just kind of followed suit, and I think it was just kind of second nature for me. But, you know, I have friends who started when they were, like, 40 years old, and there's definitely a learning curve, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Tell me about it.
I don't understand how you stay on the board.
You push against the water, it pushes back. That's the basics.
So there's no Velcro involved?
No,
there could be.
Hey, we've just been talking for a little while, but I can't help but notice you do not talk like the stereotypical surfer. You have not said dude once.
Well, the stereotypical surfer doesn't talk like the stereotypical surfer usually.
Really? So,
I do say dude, but I say it in, you know, it's like I'm probably not going to cuss on your show, but around the right friends I would, you know. So it's really an environment that creates that, you know.
Right.
I'm sure that in my life I've said, dude, that is so gnarly.
Mm-hmm. Really? You have?
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean, then?
Well, hello, man, fellow man.
Yes.
That was difficult.
Wow. It just occurs to me, you can act as a great ambassador from the surfing world to our world. You can translate. Now, it just so happens that I've got three daughters, and they tried surfing, and they loved it, and they're going to try it again, so they want to be surfers. And I want to get your advice, not so much on surfing per se, but on, like, surfing culture. How do you handle yourself? Do you want to carry yourself like a surfer? Remember to do what?
You know, I think it's just basically being respectful of other people when you're in the water. So if someone's been waiting longer than you for a wave, you generally let them have the wave. You know, just try to stay out of people's way.
And, you really do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Unless you're bigger than the other guy, then it doesn't matter.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
All right.
You have problems with jellyfish or sharks or anything like that?
G-strings.
G-strings are a problem for you? In what way are they a threat to you, Mr. Slater?
They're distracting.
Yeah, well. So you're a man who spends an awful lot of time in the water, so when you're out of the water, when you can't surf for whatever reason, do you start to go nuts?
A little bit. You know, for me, it's like a withdrawal. You know, that's probably the best analogy, because for me, it's almost like torture if the waves are good and I can't surf.
Right.
If the waves are really good and I'm not able, for some reason, to surf, I probably act like some sort of, like a fiending drug addict or something.
Really? Since you spend so much time in the water, any tips for combating pruning?
Pruning?
Yes. You know, your fingers get all pruny and unattractive.
It's the fingers you're worried about?
Yeah, well. Well, you know, you can give any helpful tips you have if you've lifetime in the water.
I don't know. Get out of the water.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, Kelly Slater, we're so delighted to have you with us, and we have asked you here today to play a game we're calling...
Surfing's great, but are there nachos?
So you're the best in the world at surfing, but we wondered how much you knew about the real sport of kings, that is, bowling.
Mm. Oh, you want some of this?
I want some of this, baby.
All right.
I've heard you're competitive. Let's see. Answer three questions, or rather, answer two of three questions correctly about bowling. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their home answering machine.
I'll give you a very brief history of my bowling life.
Please, let's hear it.
I used to be on a bowling team in high school.
Yeah.
And we were called the Dudes.
Mm. Foreshadowing.
And I once bowled a 28.
No.
Here's what happened. I bowled a 29.
Yeah.
And it ended up in a surfing magazine. I think I was 16 years old. And in the surfing magazine, it was written that I bowled a 28, and I was kind of mad about it, because I was like, no, it was a 29. But I have since bowled a 225 once.
Oh, and, wow. All right, look, before we move on to the game, bowled a 225. Is there anything that you can't do well?
Well, throw your three questions at me.
All right, we'll see. Okay, let's see. Well, Corey, who is Kelly Slater playing for?
Lisa Findlay of Mountain Brook, Alabama.
All right, here we go. Here's your first question. Bowling is popular everywhere, but only in America is the game played with 10 pins rather than 9. Why? A. 9-pin bowling was banned in America in 1870 because of the gambling associated with it, so bowlers simply added a pin to get around it. B. That's how many pins that could be found in New York City on the day of the first tournament in 1722. Or C. As the organizer of the first professional bowling league in 1905 said, 10 is better than 9, and America is better than Europe.
Wow. I'm not so sure about B, where only 10 pins could be found on the day.
Right.
So I might strike out B.
You really don't like to lose, I can tell.
I'm going to just say C.
You're going to go with C, that they simply were being jingoistic. 10's better than 9, America's better than Europe.
But I don't know. There was the whole prohibition thing and all that, so that would make sense, too. I'll go with C.
You're sure about that?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm afraid it was A. It was nine pins.
It was A.
Gambling. Yeah, they added a pin to get around the ban on nine pins. All right, this is not a problem. You have two more chances.
I have to bowl a 300 from here on
exactly.
out.
All right, here we go. Why is Mike Capa of Racine, Wisconsin, a famous figure in the history of bowling? Was it A, he was the first person to drill holes in his ball after he kept dropping the thing on his foot?
Oh, that's fun.
B, he got the lowest score in the history of organized league play, a 2. Or C, he is believed to be the first person to throw a strike while holding a beer in his other hand.
Oh, no, this is so much fun.
Honestly, I don't care if I get this wrong. It's C.
Really? You're committed to that lifestyle choice? You don't care if it's right or wrong?
Yeah.
How committed are you?
I come out of the closet.
How committed are you to making that statement?
I'm committed 100% because that just needs to be right.
All right. I wish it were. He got the lowest score ever. It was 2.
Oh, God.
He bowled 18 gutter balls, just knocked down 2 pins.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Lowest score ever in organized play. But you still have one more chance here. Here we go. Last question. In 1872, one Lucille Perk of Cleveland, Ohio, decided to go to her regular bowling night instead of doing something else. What was it that she turned down? She decided, A, not to compete in the Munich Olympics. B, she decided not to have dinner with President Nixon. Or C, she decided not to go to the hospital to deliver her baby, which ultimately happened between games 2 and 3.
What was her name?
Her name was Lucille Perk.
Lucille Perk.
Yes, Perk.
Gosh, I would. That sounds like she skipped out on the president. You know, he can't get in the way of a bowling night.
Is that your choice?
Yeah.
You're right. She decided not to have dinner with President Nixon.
Yes.
Mrs. Perk was married to the mayor of Cleveland. He had been invited to the White House, but Mrs. Perk decided she had better things to do. Corey, how did Kelly Slater do in our quiz?
Kelly got one right.
One right. I like this. I like this because, frankly, you're too perfect as it is. Yeah. And now we've discovered that you have one little weakness. That's it.
I will tell you, I was very nervous leading up to this because I'm thinking, gosh, I'm the only surfer to do this, and I could look really stupid here. And the stereotypes would all just come flying out of the closet.
Yeah, you get to travel the world surfing and playing golf in the company of beautiful women, and we're all sitting here going, he's dumb. That's what we're thinking.
Who looks stupid now?
Yeah, exactly. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Kelly Slater, thank you so much for being with us. What a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.